All right. Last week we saw how the Lord led the nation of Israel, and where they were 430 years in bondage, and he used the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and he led them out of the nation of Israel. They leave, or out of the nation of Egypt. There they were outside of Egypt. The Bible tells us that they were in a wilderness place, and then the very first place the Lord led them, as we remember, was the Red Sea, a test of their faith, as we saw in Hebrews chapter 11. So I asked myself the question after reading all that, well, where did they go after that? What was the next place? What was the next place after they had walked through the Red Sea on dry ground? Where would God bring them next? Well, that's our message for today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 22. Exodus 15, 22. The Bible says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And there they went 3 days in the wilderness," look at these next few words, "and found no water." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. God, thank you for the opportunity, as we prayed earlier. Lord, thank you for the technology to be able to do things like this. Lord, we pray that you'd use this message, although it transferred electronically. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would empower it and, Lord, use it in a mighty way in our lives. Lord, I pray that the message would be a blessing and a help and an encouragement. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at the scripture here, Exodus 15, verse 22, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Now we know that they were, again, led to the Red Sea. How? By God. Pillar of cloud that would move by day and a pillar of fire by night. We saw this last week, that at both times he expected them to move. And the next place he brings them to, the Bible says, is into the wilderness of Shur. Now, it's not mentioned too many times in your scriptures, but there is one time that draws our attention, a familiar story. It's in Genesis chapter 16. Here's what we know about Shur. In Genesis chapter 16, we have two other characters, Hagar and Ishmael. And Abraham, and, well, mainly Sarah, does not get along well with Hagar, as you can understand. She caused her a lot of reproach and a lot of trouble, and they kick her out of the area there, and there she leaves. And the Bible says that she finds a place, and she comes to the land or the area of Shur in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 7. "And the angel of the Lord found her by..." Now look at, it's so interesting to me how, what little description we have of Shur. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness." By the fountain in the way of Shur. So he brings Hagar and Ishmael. And where are they? They're in the land of Shur. And the thing that we know about the land is what? It had a fountain. There was a fountain there. Well, now we read in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 22. What do we know about the land of Shur? There was no water. Interesting how those two references are so opposite. Say, what's the sense of all that? Say, well, God can provide at different times. Sometimes where it was bounty at one point, other times we go back to the same place and it's dry. Here, the 3 days in the wilderness, they're wandering. We've been taking a lot of walks on the canal lately. It's nice. There's no car traffic, and get a little out in fresh air. And there's a lot of foot traffic on the canal as of late. And there we are. And the minute we get home, what do the kids want? Oh, we need a drink. I'm so parched, you know. We just walked 4 miles and so thirsty. Could you imagine wandering through the wilderness to find no water? The other day, we were doing some work at the house, and I had to shut off the water to fix some water lines and run some new water lines. So I warned everybody. I said, all right, well, the water's going to be down for about a half hour to an hour. You're not going to be able to use it. I'm turning it off. Kids immediately go, and they're filling up water bottles as if they would never see water again. Sophie, I think, had 3 full water bottles just to be prepared. Why? Because we know when we're told that we can't have something, we want it all the more. Well, here we are. Every step, could you imagine, wandering through the wilderness with no water. Say, why would God lead anybody to a place where there was no water? Well, once again, to prove them. The Bible says it, and we'll continue our lesson. Here they found no water. The place in verse 23 in the same chapter, Exodus 15:23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. So now they approach a new land, Marah, after wandering, and they see water, they taste the water, and it's not good water. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And look at what immediately happens. And the people murmured against Moses. Hey, when things don't go our way, what is our immediate tendency? 2 things I see here. Number 1, bitterness. And number 2, murmuring. Life isn't going how I planned. Well, I'm going to let everybody know. And maybe you find yourself in a circumstance right now where life isn't going according to how you had planned. You thought you'd be into the promised land by now. You thought you would be in a place where it was bounty and fullness and all of this, and all you're finding is either no water, bitter water. And what happens? We begin to murmur and complain. The people go to Moses, "What shall we drink?" Well, what was Moses supposed to do? Here Moses is led by God. Now the Bible tells us Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Yes, he was the point, the focal point, but who led Moses? God led Moses. Who should they have been asking? They should have been asking God. God, what are we to do now? There's no water here. And the water that is here is bitter. What shall we do? But instead they go to man. So many times, oh, when things don't go our way, what do? We go and complain to somebody else. We murmur and complain. What a dangerous combination bitterness and murmuring and complaining is. No water. The only water that they did have was bitter water. At our house, we're on a well. And we don't have the a difficulty of that sulfur water or high in iron. We have salty water. So our water, if you try and drink it, someone described it as drinking, tastes like butter. And that's not good. You don't want water tasting like butter. It's not good to drink. So why was God doing this? Well, he was establishing a pattern. By the end of the passage, we'll see how he relieves the trouble. But let's be careful that as we come to bitter waters that we not murmur and complain. Because in our own life we have bitter waters. The Bible warns us, and there's a great, great warning in the Scriptures against bitterness. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking." My mom used to tell me this, "Nick, be careful who you hang around because that's what you'll be like." And we look at this list of people, or list of attributes, if you will, and it says bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. None of those things are good. We can look at the context and say, well, life has just been difficult, therefore I get to be bitter. No, look at the company that bitterness keeps. Wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. I dare say some of the most dangerous sins are in this list. Say, why would you say those are so dangerous? Because they're sins of the heart. The Bible says, be put away from you with all malice. May we have indignation or hatred, almost hatred towards these sins. Bitterness, get it away. Wrath, get it away. Anger, get it away. Clamor, get it away. Evil speaking, put it away from you. Get rid of it. Why? Because the sins of the heart will show up everywhere in your life. It affects everything. Your view of everything will be marred and distorted. Here they came to the waters of Marah, and they were bitter. And what immediately happened? Everything around them was wrong. Hey, they weren't in Egypt anymore. They weren't making bricks anymore. They didn't see that, though. All they saw were the bitter waters. And you know, sometimes in our life, we'll come to the bitter waters of life. And you know what? It distorts our view of everything. We allow bitterness to set in. And what happens? It distorts our view of everything. Saw a message online, and it was talking about bitterness a couple weeks ago. And it warned against bitterness. It destroys lives. Your personal life could be destroyed by bitterness. It destroys families, and it destroys churches. Bitterness has no place in your heart. Say, well, it's just a little bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. So how would someone walk away from God's grace lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you? Why would someone walk out the doors of church and say, I'm never going back? Because bitterness took root. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby may be defiled. Around our yard, I don't know how, but we every now and then we'll, around springtime, we'll try and grow a couple vegetables. And we take vegetables that are already growing. They're maybe 3 to 5 inches. We'll go and buy them at our local market, and we plant those, and we hope that the 50 cents that we spent on that will produce 3 or 4 fruits to offset the cost, right? So we'll plant those, and so we have fresh soil, and the only thing in the soil is what? Our vegetables. Well, in a week, there, I don't know how it happens, the weeds, if let go, will be taller than the vegetables. Just, I guess, how the nature of a weed. And you know what? That's how things are in our life. We might be planting good things, but we let a little bit of bitterness, and you know what happens? That bitterness will choke out the good fruit. That'll choke out. It'll trouble you. So the Bible says, looking diligently. What do we take away from this? Number one, pay attention. Number two, get it early. As we know, weeding, the best time, we have some weeds around our house or whatever, and they look small or whatever, and you go to pull them out, and you pull it out, and the root on the bottom side is 4 or 5 times bigger than what is on the outside. What happened? Had a deep root. That's what bitterness does. Has a deep root in your heart. So the Bible warns us, he says in Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently. Hey, pay attention. Don't even let a little bit. The best time to pull those roots out, those weeds out, is when? When they're small. When they're just little. The easiest time. I just read I read science stuff, and the largest tree in the world, the largest trees, the tallest and the biggest trees, both the tallest and biggest trees, are both found in California. Those huge redwoods. Say, how on earth would a tree ever get that big? Do you know that those trees started as but a seed? And they were let go. And you know what? Sometimes in our life, say, how did that individual get so bitter? Because when it was this big, it was allowed to grow. It wasn't pulled out. Someone wasn't looking diligently. Someone wasn't paying attention in their life. And they allowed the root of bitterness to trouble them. And they never did what it took to get rid of it. So pay attention. Number two, get it early. It cannot be left alone. Get it early. Because what starts off small will turn out to be something huge. We have a few years ago in our yard, a tree fell down. And that root system is still there. It's capped off about this tall. But to pull out that root system, it's just not worth the effort. And you know what? Sometimes bitterness would feel like it's just not worth the effort. It's too big now. Oh, we're going to see how God gives us hope and an opportunity to fix these things. There are circumstances in our life that would certainly cause bitterness. Like, oh, I don't know, wandering around in the wilderness for 3 days with no water. Yeah, you could look at Moses and go, what on earth, Moses? I'm thirsty. My lips are chapped. My kids are crying. I need water. And in your life, maybe there's been a place where someone planted some hurt in you. Maybe a loved one. Maybe a friend. Maybe a fellow worker. Maybe, unfortunately, even a fellow Christian. So what are you going to do with that little root? Are you going to let it stay? Or are you going to pull that up? Our message here today is how to protect against the bitter waters in our life. Oh, there may be days when we come up on Mara. And the water's bitter in front of us. The question is, what are we going to do with it? I like these verses. It tells us right in the passage. But I want you to look at Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah 17, 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We have to understand that, first of all, we have to admit that we have a problem. We have to look into our own heart and say, you know what, I have a bitterness issue and I want to handle it. See, the heart will try and lie. The heart is deceitful. You know, sometimes our emotions confuse what is real. You know, maybe you're in a circumstance and it's an emotionally charged circumstance. What is the best thing to do? Wait till tempers cool. Wait until emotions lower down, and then we can deal with things logically, systematically, dealing with reality and not just emotions. The drama of the situation. Why? Because emotions sometimes distort or confuse what is real. And the Bible tells us again in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Let's know this. Our heart is trying to lie to us. Oh no, there's no problem here. You're fine. Move along. Hey, you've been hurt. You have every right to behave this way. You have every right to act in this way. You have every right to feel this way. Understand this. You have a problem. Your heart is lying to you. As they came upon the bitter waters of Mara, their immediate response would be, Moses, what have you done? Moses, we blame you. Hey, the problem was the bitterness. So first of all, we have to admit that there is a problem before anything can be fixed. As we were, I told you we were working on getting some water to a different part of our house, running some lines. And as we were doing that, we had to fix a problem before we could move forward. We had a leak in one of our spots. So I had to cut out the old spot and put in something new. Hey, if we ever want to progress and grow in the Lord, know what we have to do? We have to admit that there's a problem and be willing to fix it. See, we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we are perfectly fine and need no improvement. The Bible warned us. It said, looking diligently. Where? In others? Oh, you know. Inside of your own heart. Have you allowed bitterness to take root in your own heart? Are you willing to admit, oh, that thing's starting to grow? Maybe circumstances like that, what's going on around us right now, is a source of bitterness. God, why are you allowing? Why would you lead me to Mara? Oh, we're going to see why he did. And maybe that'll be the same help to us. Number one, we have to admit there's a problem. Number two, we have to get help. It's one thing to admit the problem. Number two, it's important that we get help. If we go back to our passage in Exodus chapter 15, Exodus chapter 15 and verse 25, the Bible says, and he cried unto the Lord. Who cried unto the Lord? Moses cried unto the Lord. Why? Because so many were murmuring and complaining against him. Had Israel gone to God, that would have been better. And the Lord's going to explain that. Moses cries unto the Lord, and the Lord showed unto him a tree, which he had cast into the waters. And the waters were made sweet. Now, as we continue the verse, there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Remember why he led them to the Red Sea? To prove their faith. Here he's going to prove how he wants things to go. We'll see this by the end of the passage. I told you I like to read science, and I like to read biblical science. You know, if I start a documentary or something, or something that's explaining how the world works, and they start with the phrase 500 million years ago, click. I know their science is faulty. But I like to read science things, and nowhere in all of my science studies, maybe someone knows of this, where you could take bitter water, toss a stick in, and all of a sudden become sweet water. I've never heard of such a thing. So what is this? This is a miracle. This is God doing a great thing. This is God working in the midst of this. This is God transforming a bitter situation into a sweet situation. See, that's where we go for our help. I think it was interesting what he used. He says, take that tree and put it into the bitterness. And I couldn't help but think about the cross of Calvary. Casting a tree into the mix, then into the water, into the bitterness. See, if you want to heal the waters of bitterness, the easiest way is through the cross of Christ. Insert the cross into your situation. Say, what does that mean? How about we sacrifice those feelings? Be willing to put to death the bitterness and allow the Lord to help. Allow the Lord to help you take them from you. To change it from bitter to sweet. What do we need? We need the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many times we gauge situations in our life of what does it cost and what do I get? If I went to the store and said, here's $100, and they gave me five cartfuls of groceries, I say, wow, that's a great deal. What does it cost me and what do I get? And so many times we evaluate Christianity like that. Well, what's it going to cost me and what do I get out of it? Do you understand any investment into the work of God or any investment into our personal growth with the Lord or our relationship? The benefits so far exceed whatever we put in. Why? Because God is an agent, the catalyst in it, that makes it all work. Moses simply just cries out to God and say, Lord, I need your help. And God says, all right, here, we're going to cast this tree into the bitter waters and immediately it turns sweet. Hey, in your life, God, I need help. That's all I needed you to say, he says. And he says, now I can transfer this from sweet to bitter. Where was that? How did I know about that? Why didn't I do that sooner? I don't know. But I just wonder if Israel would have, on day one instead of day three, cried out to God and said, God, could you provide water, instead of every step murmuring and complaining against Moses and his leadership. I wonder if they cried out to God and said, God, would you provide here? But it took 3 days. Number one, admit there's a problem. Number two, get help. Number three, when the help arrives, do what is necessary. Let's look at our passage again. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. It's all laid out right here. God gives us the plan and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. I want you to pay attention. He repeats himself kind of twice. He says, I want you to listen to what I'm saying and do what I tell you to do. He'll say it twice. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. See, listen, do. Listen, do. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hey, let's do what is necessary. Let's listen. Let's hearken unto the Lord. What has God told you to do? Number one, we've admit there's a problem. Number two, we've gone to the Lord for help. The question is, now are we going to listen and do what is necessary? Are we going to do that which is right? Are we going to keep his commandments? Here's the problem. Everyone's looking for a shortcut. No one wants to admit guilt. No one wants to have to listen to another, even if it's God himself. James 1:19, I love these verses. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know what it's saying? Listen up, I have something to say. But no one wants that. Everyone wants a quick pill and make it go away. No, there's some things that God expects of you. He's going to give you instruction, and he's going to expect you to do some things. It says it right there. Hey, hearken unto the voice and do right. Give ear to his commandments and then keep them. See, God wanted to prove him. God wanted to establish something. Yes, as a nation, he was going to deal with Israel, but as individuals now. He was holding individuals accountable. He said this, I want you as individuals to listen to me. Well, when the church goes in that direction, I'll move in that direction. No, how about you as an individual? How about you as a person evaluate in your life? Is there bitterness? And am I going to do what it takes to get rid of it? Again, no one wants to admit guilt. But that's the only way. Moses had to cry out to the Lord. And then he gave the solution. Do you see the solution to his bitterness? That made no sense. Made no sense. And taking a stick and throwing it into bitter water, all of a sudden it turns it sweet. And you may look at, and God says, here's what I want you to do. You say, well, that makes no sense. Just do what I tell you to do. Doing right is not contingent upon our understanding. It's contingent upon our faith and trust in the Lord. I'm just going to do what he says and trust that he's going to make it good in the end. If Moses said, I'm not throwing a stick in the water, that's foolish. You know what they would not have had? Sweet water. Yes, he would have heard, but he didn't do. See, so many times we come up to the line in our life and say, all right, I see what you're saying for me. I see what you desire of me, but that just doesn't make sense. I'm going to turn around and go back. And we end with bitter waters. We never get the sweet water. Why? Because we weren't obedient to what God told us to do. This morning, we're going to look at our third stop. First, we started at the Red Sea. Second, we stopped at the bitter waters of Marah. Say, where's third? I can't even imagine. Is it a forest of thorns? What's next? In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 27. And there they came to Elim. Where were 12 wells of water. And 70 palm trees. and they encamp there by the waters. Say, so why would you lead us to the bitter waters? At the end of verse 25, and there he proved them. And then he led them to Elim. See, so many times we have to go through the bitter waters of Marah and understand how we need to cleanse our own heart. And the next step is Elim. The sweet waters of Elim, where there's an abundance of water. Not just water. Look at this, 70 palm trees. Say, what is this? This is an oasis in the midst of the wilderness. And it was there all the time. But they just had to get through the bitter waters of Marah. An oasis in the wilderness. Let me ask you here this morning. Have you allowed bitterness to start to grow in your heart? Say, oh, it's just a little thing. I'll take care of it. Take care of it right now. Do not allow that to grow. Every day you allow bitterness to grow in your heart, it is exponentially harder to get it out. The easiest day to deal with bitterness is today. Are you guilty of complaining about circumstances to which God has brought you to? Will you allow Him to help heal your heart? Had God not gotten involved, the bitter waters would have never turned sweet. Will you listen and obey Him? Will you find yourself in Elim? I pray that this be a help to you and encouragement. I don't know one person that I've ever come in contact with that couldn't use a help in evaluating their heart. The Bible warns us to look diligently to protect us from bitterness. Why? Because it's so destructive. It leads to so much more. It messes up the view of everything in our life. But when we get healed, it turns from bitter to sweet. It was the same water. Do you see that? The water never changed. It was the same H2O. But God just made it sweet. Isn't it something how we could take a situation in our life that could possibly cause us bitterness, that when we turn to Him for help, He could take that very circumstance and make it nourishing to us. And then look at the next place, a paradise. Where are you today? You find yourself at the bitter waters of Marah. Will you allow Christ and His perfect work to work you through and change you and heal your heart and turn it to sweetness? Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. Thank You for how patient You are. As I look at the nation of Israel, I see myself in so many different ways. Lord, it's so easy to get bitter. It's so easy to murmur and complain. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I pray that You'd reveal to me in my heart if I've allowed the root of bitterness to take any hold. Lord, I want to change that from bitter waters to sweet. I want to find the land of Elim. Lord, help us, lead us to those places. Lord, be with our church people. Lord, encourage them. Help them with this passage. God, that we would not allow our heart to deceive us. Lord, we love You, thankful for this time, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a great day.